Pipe Theatre. We present Jesse Matthews in Robert's Wife by St. John Irvin, adapted for broadcasting by Archie Campbell. Robert's Wife.
Oh, yes, Anne, what is it?
Miss Orley wants to know if she can see you for a minute.
Yes, of course. Come in, won't you, Miss Orley?
I hope I'm not interrupting you, June.
Not a bit. I'm dining here tonight because of the confirmation, so I'm filling in time with odds and ends that don't matter much.
Is the vicar out?
He's in church, taking a last look round to see everything's all right.
I thought I might be able to lend a hand if one were needed. Is Mrs. Carson coming to the confirmation?
Oh, surely. We're having quite a doodah here tonight. Dinner party to meet the bishop. That old Mrs. Armitage is coming, and the church wardens. Do you know Mrs. Armitage?
Yes. Not well, but I know her.
She's frightfully rich, isn't she?
Enormously. Her husband made a million out of substitutes. Whenever he saw anything real, he put something artificial in its place.
Oh.
He did very well out of artificial eggs, but most of his money was made in artificial milk.
Oh, it must have been lovely to be rich. You're rich, aren't you?
Not what Mrs. Armitage would call rich. I'm comfortably off, as they say.
Lucky you. Though Bob wouldn't approve of you. He's awfully against the rich.
Nice boy, Bob.
Yes. Of course, he's a bit of a bullshit.
All schoolboys are.
He isn't a schoolboy. He's at Oxford.
That's what I said. Mrs. Carson's very fond of him.
Yes, very. More like a mother than a stepmother. Do you think she's a Christian?
Mrs. Carson?
Yes. I mean, she's not much of a churchwoman, is she? She doesn't do any of the things you'd expect a clergyman's wife to do.
Oh, why should she? She's a doctor. She has her own work to do. There are plenty of women like me who can help the vicar. But there aren't many women who can help in the clinic.
You'd have made a good parson's wife, Miss Orley.
Would I?
Yes. Isn't it funny how people never seem to do the things they're best fitted for?
Very. Goodbye.
Well, I suppose I've been tactless again. She's batty about him. Oh, dear, this list of communicants is in a muddle.
That boy Dick Jones is at the back door. Wants to know if he can speak to the vicar.
Oh, no, he can't. Tell him the vicar's out.
I told him that, miss, but he didn't seem to mind. He asked for Mrs. Carson, but I said she was out too. I said you were the only one in, and he said he'd wait.
Did he?
Well, he can't.
Robert, are you in?
Oh, there's Mrs. Carson now. Tell that boy he'll have to come back another day or something.
Hello, June. Anne, dear, would you bring the sherry?
Yes, madam.
My goodness, June, I'm tired.
You look tired.
And I'm happy.
Oh, what are you happy about?
I've just been made medical head of the clinic.
Oh, I am glad. I do congratulate you.
I'm glad, too. Now I can do something. Where's Robert?
In church, taking a last look round before the confirmation.
Oh, yes, the confirmation. I'd forgotten that.
You hadn't forgotten the bishop's coming.
You know I had. How lucky I came back in time. Is Bob in?
No, he's been out all day. I can't think where he gets to.
Thank you, Anne. Feeling flustered about tonight?
Oh, yes, madam. You see, I've never been done before.
Of course you haven't. You're only supposed to be done once. You ought to have been confirmed long ago. You'll have some sherry, June?
Well, just a little.
Give that to Miss Hanby.
Yes, madam.
Thank you.
Thank heavens for intoxicating liquor. Happy days, June.
Happy days, Mrs. Carson, and good luck to the clinic.
Good luck to the clinic.
Good luck.
Mm. Oh, that boy Dick Jones is still waiting.
What does he want?
To speak to you or the vicar.
Oh, I hope his mother isn't being tiresome again.
I should say she certainly is. He can't see the vicar now. It's much too late.
I'll see him. Show him in, Anne.
Yes, madam.
I don't altogether blame his mother. That girl's a nasty little shrew, if you ask me.
Dick seems to like her. And she is going to have a baby.
I've no patience with girls who get into messes.
Wait till you get into one yourself.
Me?
We all get into messes of some sort. What's her name?
Hilda Corbett.
Well, it takes two to get into trouble. And I dare say Hilda did her share. We hear too much about boys who get innocent girls into trouble, but not nearly enough about girls who lead innocent boys astray.
Oh, what sort of a man is it who lets himself be led astray?
Almost every man.
Jones, madam.
Oh, come in, Dick. What is it? Can I help?
Oh, it's my mother, Mrs. Carson. She won't give her consent. She says you'd rather see me stretching my coffin than married to Hilda.
Well, that's emphatic enough.
I don't know what to do. Hilda's off her head.
I know. Sit down, Dick.
Oh, thank you.
Hilda isn't very tactful with your mother.
Girls who are going to have babies when they aren't married are seldom models of deportment, June. Why does your mother dislike her so much, Dick?
Well, she says she ain't suitable for me. Look, Mrs. Carson, I want to do right by Hilda. I've got her into trouble, and it's up to me to look after her. Can't you and the vicar do something to help us?
Are you quite sure you're in love with Hilda?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Carson, of course I'm in love with her. But even if I wasn't, I'd marry her after this. It'd only be decent to marry her.
Yes, but you mustn't go marrying girls just because it's decent. Anyhow, here's the vicar now. You'd better ask him. Oh, Robert, you're just in time. Dick's mother is still obstinate.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Dick. When's the baby due?
September, sir.
Oh, yes, I remember. Well, there's plenty of time for your mother to change her mind.
Oh, but we want to put a good face on things, sir. Hilda doesn't like the idea of the baby coming soon after we're married.
Well, she should have thought of that before, shouldn't she? Good gracious me, look at the time. I'm afraid you'll have to go now, Dick, but you'd better come and see me tomorrow night.
Oh, very good, sir.
I'll have another talk with your mother, but if she still refuses her consent, we'll have to apply to the magistrate. Yes, I hate having to do that. Makes for bad feeding, but come along.
Now, 6:30 tomorrow night sharp, understand?
Yes, miss.
Cheer up, Dick. You mustn't go about with a face as long as a fiddle.
No, Mum. But I do want to do right by Hilda.
When people want to do right, they generally do it. Good night.
Good night.
You better tell your mother when you get home that we'll apply to the magistrates if she won't consent.
Aren't doting mothers detestable?
No, Mrs. Jones isn't a bad sort. Personally, I don't like Hilda. Horrid, snivelling little creature. I wonder if it's any use trying to do good.
That's what I wonder when I'm tired. What's the good, I say to myself? No sooner have you helped one lot of silly fools than up comes another lot. The human race is a washout. It won't stay up. The minute your back's turned, it damn well falls down again. Why not let it fall and have your fun while you've health and strength? That's how I think when I'm feeling tired and discouraged. But when I'm fresh and happy, I don't care how stupid people are, so long as I'm allowed to do things for them. Whoop, you great lump of fat-headedness, I say, and I give them a shove up. And if they fall down on me, I say, oop again, you big stiff.
Oh, they make me cross when they start slithering about.
But you wouldn't like to live with people who never mucked things.
Yes, I should. I hate fools.
Supposing you had to live with a bench of bishops.
They're muffing all the time.
Not all the time, June. Even a bishop has lucid intervals. Though people seem to call them awful names, whatever they do. Oh, Robert, why is it that everybody, however stupid he may be, thinks he knows better than any bishop?
Oh, that's easily answered. No bishop could ever, in any circumstances, be right about anything. I thought every errand boy knew that.
Our bishop will be here any minute. So will the church wardens and Mrs. Armitage.
Oh, Lord, yes, me still dirty from the toil of the day. June, you're up to your elbows in ink.
Oh, it won't take me half a jiff to get ready.
Say, have you seen Bob?
No, darling, I've only just come in myself.
Oh? Had a busy day?
Yes, very. I've been made medical head of the clinic.
Oh, my darling, I'm glad. I am glad. You must be feeling proud of yourself.
I am. I'm the proudest woman in England tonight. I wouldn't change places with any woman on earth. All my life I've wanted a job like this, and now I shall be able to do things. This clinic is life to me, Robert. I want to work in it till I drop.
You won't drop. You'll be carried out kicking.
That's true. Nobody's going to get rid of me in a hurry. Oh, goodness, look at the time. I must fly to titivate myself for this wicked old bishop. Robert, I want you to be very nice to Mrs. Armitage tonight.
That old packet? I'm always nice to her.
I know, darling, but I want you to be specially nice to her tonight. Make the bishop take a lot of notice of her.
Why?
I want to bleed the old girl for my clinic. It must be enlarged. I shall ask her to come on the committee, and then I'll skin her for £5,000.
You devil! Her food will cost her dear tonight.
Well, darling, her awful old husband made a fortune out of poisoning people with badly tinned food and substitutes. So the least she can do is to pay for a clinic to cure some of his customers.
Oh, madam, the bishop's come.
Crikey, look at me, dirty and disheveled.
All right, Anne, I'll go to the door.
There you are, Bishop. Hello, Robert.
Nice to
meet you.
How are you, madam? I'm afraid I'm early.
Well,
I'm sure. Come inside. The Sancho's waiting for you.
Ah,
my dear Mrs. Carson. I know I'm much too early.
You're never too early, Bishop. You're welcome whenever you come.
That's very kind of you. You see, I want to have a little talk with Robert.
Shall I leave you?
No. Please, it concerns you too. By the way, Sir Henry Gordon met me just now and told me you'd been appointed head of the clinic.
Isn't that splendid?
Congratulations, my dear.
Thank you, Bishop.
You'll be the right woman in the right place. Though I must warn you that everybody doesn't approve of you.
Don't I know that?
Jefferson of St. Ethelbertus is very worried about your sociological opinions. He doesn't like what he's heard of your views on birth control. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full.
Well, his quiver's empty.
He's a celibate, darling.
That makes it worse. A man has no right to run about telling other people to fill their quivers when he has sworn never to put anything in his.
We're an illogical lot. That's what keeps us sane. Well, to business. I suppose you've heard, Robert, that Warburton is retiring at last from the deanery?
No, I hadn't heard.
He told the chapter this afternoon that he intends to retire at Christmas. I needn't tell you, Robert, that I don't know who will be appointed in his place, but I'd give a good deal to see you there.
Thank you, Bishop.
Your husband has every qualification for the position, Mrs. Carson. He's a good preacher, a good organizer, and a good man.
He preaches his best sermon to me.
I don't know how much influence I have, not much, I'm afraid, but the Prime Minister and I are very old friends, and I'm going to take the liberty of telling him that you are the right man for this deanery, Robert. And it will be a very great happiness to me, as your bishop, to see you appointed. You'd take it, wouldn't you, Robert, if it were offered to you?
Yes.
Of course he would.
And what about you?
Me?
Yes. You're rather important, you know. You'll be Mrs. Dean.
Robert's career in the church doesn't depend on me, thank goodness, but on his own ability and character.
Well, naturally, but supposing your career as a doctor does not run quite in the same direction as his career?
They don't clash in the least, do they, Robert?
They haven't so far.
I don't see why they ever should. Robert and I had this out before we were married, Bishop. I was not going to give up my work, nor, of course, was he going to give up his.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very good doctor, though I say that I shouldn't.
Well, I'll say it for you.
And Robert's a very good clergyman.
Ah, there I can speak with greater authority. He is far and away the best parish priest in his diocese.
Well, then, we don't see why two perfectly good careers should be upset because their owners marry.
There isn't any reason, but there may be a lot of stupidity. However, we needn't anticipate trouble. All I want to know now is that Robert will accept the deanery if it is offered to him. My dear fellow, you know how deeply I regard you.
You've always been very kind to me.
No kinder than you deserve. But my regard for you isn't only due to your ability, it's also a feeling of personal affection. I'm very fond of you, Robert. And you too, Sancho. I may call you Sancho, may I not?
Please, Bishop.
Mrs. Armitage and the church wardens are in the drawing room, madam.
All right, Anne, thank you. Oh, Anne, just a moment. Anne's to be confirmed by you tonight, Bishop.
Oh, I hope I shall confirm you nicely, Anne.
Thank you, my lord.
That's all, Anne. Robert, go and talk to them until I've had time to change my dress. Bishop, will you be a very great dear?
I don't know that I'm capable of that, but I'll try.
Be very nice to Mrs. Armitage.
The rich woman?
Yes. I want to bleed her for my clinic. And if you'll tell her how useful it is.
All right. The money's as good as yours.
I shan't be long, Robert.
Hmm. Your wife's a nice woman, Robert.
She's a darling.
Your son gets on well with her?
He adores her. I believe he'd tell her things he wouldn't tell me.
How is he?
Pretty good. Of course he thinks I'm obsolete.
Well, didn't you think your father was? Huh. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
I sometimes feel sorry for poor old Adam. He had no father to repudiate. Bob's at the bitter stage. Everything's all wrong.
I'm not afraid of unorthodoxy in the young, Robert. That's how we grow. I'm afraid of their indifference. That's how we die. Now, lead me to this old woman, Armitage, whom Sancho wants me to bleed. By the way, Robert, I'm in a little bit of difficulty about the diocesan fund. I wish you'd come over to the palace tomorrow and help me.
Come in here, Miss Orley. It's cozier here.
But won't I be in the way of the bishop and the vicar?
They won't be here for another quarter of an hour. Sit down.
Oh, thank you.
I thought that service was rather nice.
Yes. I like confirmation. I like all services in which people dedicate themselves.
This sort of thing hasn't come very much in my life. I scarcely ever went to church before I married Robert. But there was something beautiful in that service tonight. All those boys and girls solemnly accepting responsibility for their own lives and vowing to make the best of them. I like young people. They irritate me intensely, but I like them.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I'm very fond of Bob, but there are times when I can scarcely keep my hands off him. You're a religious woman, Miss Orley?
Well, I try to be, though I'm not very successful.
Tell me, what does it mean to you?
I'm not sure that I can.
But you're getting something out of it.
Getting something?
That's crudely put, of course, but obviously you're satisfied. You seem to have realized yourself more than most of us do. As if you were getting... Oh, dear, how hard it is to say these things. Some satisfaction which infuses your whole life and gives you peace.
Yes.
Now, I'm not at peace. I'm at war. And I feel that it is right for me to be at war. Yet I envy you your peace. Why do I envy what seems to be wrong?
Wrong?
Yes. This isn't a world in which to feel at peace. I want to fight.
Just for the sake of fighting?
No, but because there's so much that is worth fighting for. I'm a soldier because of the intolerable wrongness of life. And I want to live and die in the front line.
But only, I suppose, because you hope that the intolerable wrongness of life can be ended.
Or lessened.
You wouldn't want to live and die in the front line if you thought that the intolerable wrongness would last forever.
I don't know. That's part of my puzzle. My father and mother were agnostics, but they were good people. Why were they? I can understand you and Robert doing good because you believe in the benevolent intention of the universe. But my mother and father weren't convinced there was any intention, good or evil.
Yet they did good.
Yes. Isn't it queer?
Mrs. Jones has come.
Mrs. Jones?
Dick's mother. The vicar and the bishop are still powwowing with the warden.
Oh, I'd better clear out.
You can talk to June in the drawing room while I see Mrs. Jones here. The bishop's coming in for an hour as soon as he and Robert have finished in church, and I'd like you to meet him.
Oh, thank you.
Send Mrs. Jones in, June.
I don't think she's in a good temper.
Never mind. Send her in.
Very well. You coming, Miss Orley?
Yes.
Oh, will you go into the study, Mrs. Jones?
Thank you. Good evening.
Come in, Mrs. Jones. Sit down.
Oh, thank you.
My husband is still in church, and I'm afraid he won't be able to see you tonight, but if I can do anything...
It's about my boy.
Yes.
I don't want no interference between me and my boy.
But Mrs. Jones...
He's my boy, not yours.
I know, but there's Hilda to be considered.
Mrs. Carson, that girl's no good.
She's going to have a baby.
Oh, her sort breeds like rabbits. I tell you, she ain't a proper girl to marry a man. Not a man like my Dick.
What's wrong with her?
Everything. She's a snippety piece. All show, no backbone. And has no more notion of how to run a house than she has of flying. Hilda's a factory girl, doing little bits all day. And when she's done them, she goes to pictures. That's her life, little bits and pictures. A girl like that ain't fit to be a man's wife.
Well, there are thousands of them, Mrs. Jones.
Oh, more's the pity. She's nothing but a slut with a penneth of paint on her silly face. Set her down to cook a dinner for a man and what'll happen? Huh? I know where her dinners will come from. Out of tins and fried fish shops.
Are you suggesting seriously that Dick should leave Hilda in the lurch?
Yes, I am. I wouldn't have him marry her for all the world.
Mrs. Jones, why don't you be reasonable about this? They're going to marry, and it would be better for everybody, yourself included, if you were friendly to them. If you won't consent to the marriage, they'll apply to the magistrates for permission.
Now, that's what I've come about. You and Vicar mustn't do it, Mrs. Carson.
There's a child coming, Mrs. Jones.
I know, and I'm willing to pay Hilda whatever the magistrates say, but I don't want her married to my boy.
Why are you so hard on them?
You'd be hard if you had a boy who's going to make a fool of himself. Young folks are very stubborn, Mrs. Carson. And I've seen a proper few of them make great unhappiness for themselves, going against their parents' advice and having their own way.
Well, they have to find their own feet.
I don't hold with that sort of talk. A child has to be taught its way about. Right, half your time in your clinic, you're telling mothers that. Let their child walk the way it wants to and it'll grow up bandy-legged. Now, I've heard you say things like that yourself.
Yes, that's true. But Dick isn't a child, and Hilda's going to have one.
A chap Dick's age has no more sense than a hen.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sancho. I didn't know.
It's all right. Mrs. Jones has come to see both of us.
Good evening, Mrs. Jones.
Oh, good evening, sir.
Please don't go, Bishop. I think you may be able to help us. This is the Bishop, Mrs. Jones.
Ah, how do you do, Mrs. Jones?
I'm quite well, thank you, sir.
Do you mind if we tell the Bishop about Dick and Hilda?
No, not at all.
Mrs. Jones has one son, a boy called Dick, and a very good lad he is.
That he is, a proper lad, though he has got a girl into trouble.
Yes.
And as you've heard Mrs. Jones say, Bishop, he's got a girl into trouble. Her name's Hilda Corbett, and they're both underage.
Yes.
Now, Dick wants to marry the girl, but his mother, he hasn't a father, won't give her consent, and he won't be 21 until after the baby is born.
Is he?
She ain't a proper girl for him, sir. Not the sort a man ought to have for his wife. Oh, it's hard for me to say just what I mean, sir, but it's this way. Mm-hmm. A girl to knock about with is one thing, but a wife's another.
Yes, I think I see your point, Mrs. Jones.
Well, I'm glad of that, sir. You see, people like Vicar and Mrs. Carson, and you too, sir, if you'll pardon the liberty, don't see things the way we do.
Mm.
All you think's about is getting the girl married, respectable-like. But I'm thinking of my boy's whole life. He's got to live with Hilda. I don't see no happiness for him nor her come to that if they marry. And what's the good of marriage if it don't make you happy?
Yes, I sympathize with your point of view. I'm not so keen on respectability that I'm willing to see a young man and girl who are unsuited to each other tied together for life because they've slipped into trouble. But there's the third party, the child.
Yes, I know, but I'm...
Which hasn't been asked for its consent to be born, but will have to bear all the consequences. Mrs. Jones, you won't have to bear them. The child will. And it is a very great responsibility to cast a slur on another person's life, especially a child's.
Well, I don't want to do a child no harm.
Well, then, give your grandchild a chance. Look here. If you'll behave nicely to him, I'll come here myself and marry your son to... Hilda, I think you said her name was?
That's her name, sir. My lord, I mean.
And I'll baptize the baby.
From what I can see of it, sir, one visit will do for both.
Well, what about it?
It is the baby that matters, isn't it, Mrs. Jones? Well, I don't make no promises.
But you'll think about it.
Yes. I'll think about it.
Oh, splendid, Mrs. Jones.
It's that girl.
Oh, I know, I know. One of my sons wanted to marry a girl I didn't approve of, and he did. And you know, Mrs. Jones, she turned out to be a very nice girl.
You was lucky, sir. Well, thank you for your advice. I'm sorry I barged in on you all like this, but I'm not sorry I come.
Good night, Mrs. Jones.
Good night, my lord.
I'll come to the door.
Oh, you. Thank you. Good night, Vicar.
Good night. God forgive me if I've done wrong.
You don't doubt you've done right, do you?
You know, there's something in what that poor woman said. We are more eager for the marriage ceremony than we are for the happiness of the married. We've forced our will on Mrs. Jones, who knows the nature of her son and that girl better than we do, and if their marriage turns out a failure, we shall be to blame.
I wish we could think of some means of solving this sort of problem. I don't want to see Dick tied to a worthless girl. But at the same time, I don't want to see their child stigmatized. Oh, what's a poor parson to do?
Protect the weakest.
But who is the weakest? The girl, the baby, or Dick? The moment Dick and Hilda are married, we'll wash our hands of them.
Yes.
Aren't we washing our hands of too many things? I hate this safety first religion. We neither lead nor follow. We simply stand about hoping we shan't be noticed. It's a great pity someone doesn't set fire to a bishop.
I hope they won't begin on me.
I know I sound absurd. And I think we're far too reasonable. And I know nothing so uninspiring as reasonable behavior. It's the wild men of the world who keep it fresh and wholesome.
When you're dean...
Yes, when I'm dean. Do you think I ever shall be?
Oh, certainly. You have enthusiasm and brains, a combination of qualities that is rare and is becoming rarer. All the enthusiasts of my acquaintance have no brains, and all the brainy people have no enthusiasm. We're dying of hot heads and cold feet.
Here's Bob, with a bomb in every pocket.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Father.
You know my stepson, Bob, don't you, Bishop?
Yes, yes. How are you, Bob?
Pretty fit, thanks, my lord.
Good.
Well, what have you been doing tonight? Starting a new universe, or only letting off steam?
I've been talking to some soldiers at Barnbury Camp.
What are you talking about?
War.
Oh, I'm going there to preach on Sunday.
Oh, you're not going to praise war, are you?
Bob.
Oh, please, my lord, I'm not being cheeky, but so many bishops praise war.
I shan't praise it, Bob. I had three sons when the last one began. I hadn't any when it was over. I don't think I shall praise war. But I won't refuse my blessing to men who are willing to die for what they think is a good cause.
Yeah, it's always a good cause.
In that event, the soldier is spared the shame of thinking he has died in a bad one. If your generation can stop war, God bless it. You'll forgive a bishop, won't you, for asking God to bless you? I believe that bishops are in bad odor at Oxford, and that their invocations are considered impertinent. But we're puzzled men, Bob. I find it increasingly hard to say just what is the will of God, though I had no difficulty whatsoever about it when I was at Oxford. But perhaps, my dear lad, you will be able to do better than we've done.
Sancha, didn't you say something about speeding the parting bishop with hot milk?
Yes, but if we stay here much longer, it'll be hot water. Come along.
We're a cowardly lot, always preferring the law to the prophets.
Me for the prophets every time.
Me too, Sancha, me too.
Turn out the light, Robert.
Yes. Yet we must have law.
Isn't it Martha we need?
Yes, but who's going to tear up the mess?
Where's Mrs. Carson? This isn't one of her clinic nights, is it?
No, Miss Orley. She's at a meeting with Bob. Oh, thank goodness we'll soon have these notices done. If it hadn't been for you, I couldn't have finished them tonight. I asked Bob to help me, but he wouldn't.
What is this meeting Bob and Mrs. Carson are at?
Oh, one of his down-with-everything meetings. Anti-war, I think. We had a row about it this morning.
Hello. Working in here?
Yes, we didn't expect you back so soon, Mrs. Carson. Mr. Jefferson's with the vicar. I think there's a row on. He came in looking awfully Anglo-Catholic.
I bet it's about me.
I shouldn't be surprised. He doesn't like your clinic.
He'll like it a lot less before I've finished. If old Mrs. Armitage gives me enough money, I'll have clinics all over the place.
Has she given you any yet?
A little, not much. She's what she calls feeling her way. Oh, why have all the wrong people got the money?
Probably because they're the wrong people. Was it a good meeting tonight?
If 37 people is a crowd, then it was good. But as none of them agreed with anything, I should have said it wasn't.
What was it about?
Anti-war.
Did Bob speak?
Yes, he spoke. And not badly either. He has some of his father's eloquence, but he's woolly-witted. Do you know what he proposed tonight?
What?
A strike against motherhood. Oh, every woman is to refuse to have any more babies until armaments have been abolished.
There wouldn't be any people left on the earth.
I told him that, and he said, would it matter? Oh, Bob, dear, we were just talking about you. Come on in.
Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, Miss Orley. Evening, June.
I'm not speaking to you.
Oh, why?
He was rude to me this morning. He called me bourgeois.
You'll have guessed by this time, Miss Orley, that these two are secretly engaged.
Well, I had sort of surmised that.
What sort of home they'll have with two orators in it, I cannot imagine.
You can take turn about it, speechify.
That's right. Make fun.
Bob.
That's all people in this country ever do. Make fun. Anybody who's serious about anything in this country is called a prig. He hasn't any sense of humour. Humour. There's a hell of a lot of humour in being hungry. Oh, it's a great joke to be poor and born in a slum. Every day I wake up to find the world in a worse mess than it was before.
That doesn't say very much for you, does it?
The whole system's wrong.
You might as well say that the whole human race is wrong.
Sancho, people are not doing anything.
Nobody doing anything?
Anything that matters. Oh, everybody's against war, yet everybody's wondering when the next war will begin. If they were serious, it would never begin. I went to Hangover this morning. That hospital where the chaps who were crocked for good in the last war are waiting to die. I'd like to take everybody to Hangover and say that's what your blasted war did to them. I'm one of the chaps who'll be expected to go and get killed in the next war. I'm nearly 20, so I'm just ripe for slaughter. What? I won't fight. I tell you, I won't fight. I can't bear the thought of killing people. I can't bear it.
Bob, dear.
I'm sorry, Sancho. I'm most frightfully sorry.
I must go after
him. No, don't. Your common sense is a little overpowering at times, June. I'll go.
I'll have an awful job with him when we're married.
Do you love him very much?
Yes, terribly. I oughtn't to love him because he's a frightful fool, but I do. Every now and then I have a horrible desire to sock him on the jaw, but the rest of the time I just want to take care of him. I never thought I'd feel like this. Most unsecretarial. Oh, goodness, we haven't finished these notices yet. They ought to have been done long ago.
It's a pity he attaches so much importance to living.
Oh, I'm with him there. I like being alive.
Oh, I agree. It's very nice to be alive, but we can't make too much fuss about it. Bob has no hope of anything but this. And because he has no other hope, he's afraid of losing it. He'll do anything for life.
Well, wouldn't you?
No.
But it's all we're sure of.
It's the least thing I'm sure of.
I can't understand you. We do know we've got this. We don't know we'll get anything else.
Well, doesn't what you do know make you feel certain that there must be more to come?
There may be. I don't know. I do my bit as things are, and if that isn't good enough, well, I can't help it. It's my best.
Well, you're not as far from me as you think. If this is the end of everything, then nothing we do matters. If this isn't the end, then the length of our life here is of little importance. It's only an interval between the acts.
Oh, hello, June. Not gone yet.
Oh, I wanted to finish these notices, and Miss Orley offered to stay and help me. And she's awfully good about helping.
Yes, I know. My unpaid curate.
Was Mr. Jefferson very tiresome?
Well, not more than usual.
What was it this time?
It was the sacredness of human life.
Oh, that's what Bob's always worrying about.
Poor Jefferson. Sancho's clinic worries him terribly.
Oh, I shouldn't let him upset you. She's doing one of the best jobs in this town.
Oh, I know she is. That's why it annoys me when Jefferson has right on his side.
That man can't be right, even when he is. He's got a natural genius for being wrong.
Let's finish these notices in the morning room, June.
Oh, must you finish them tonight?
Oh, yes, we must. Are you ready, Miss Orley?
Don't let her impose on you.
Nobody imposes on her. They can't.
She imposes on herself.
But I like to help. Oh, Robert, got rid of Jefferson?
Yes, he was in a wax.
Me again?
Yes, it's about that open-air crèche you've started in St. Mary's Churchyard. He thinks you're committing sacrilege.
What?
It's consecrated ground.
Consecrated to what? The dead? Well, I'm consecrating it to the living.
He's worried by the sight of the kids romping around the tombstones.
If I were mouldering inside one of those monstrous old tombs, I'd feel delighted to think that just outside my grave, little children were happy and growing strong.
Yes, yes, I know, Sancho, and I share your point of view. But Jefferson doesn't think as we do. And it's unfortunate that your clinic should be in his parish and not in mine.
But he's always been there. He has one of the poorest parishes in the town.
But you're married to me.
What on earth has that got to do with it? The clinic was there before I met you. It didn't affect you before we were married. Why should it affect you now?
Parsons are very touchy about trespassing on each other's preserves. Nearly as bad as gangsters. It's a pity we can't do our work without treading on his corns.
Nobody can do anything that is worth doing without treading on somebody's corns. And there are a lot of corns on which I want to tread.
Yes, but people think I'm doing the treading. I mean, they think I sympathize completely with all you do.
Don't you?
No, I think you go too far sometimes and are in too great a hurry.
Oh.
You're always complaining of reactionaries. But I believe that reaction's an important part of progress. Otherwise, we'd run ahead of ourselves. Well, every soldier knows that he mustn't carry his attack too far. He must stop and consolidate his gains, defend what he's won, and make his ground good.
Yes, I see that, but I also see there are people in the world who must go on, who can't stop, and that there are other people who are always getting in the way and trying to stop them. The history of medicine alone proves that.
How?
At every turn of the road to medical knowledge, the pioneering doctor has found an obstructive priest in his path. I see myself as the symbol of all the doctors who've striven to reduce or abolish pain. And I see Jefferson as the symbol of all the priests who have tried to stop them. When I discovered the use of anesthetics, Jefferson forbade me to use them. When I tried to study anatomy in the Middle Ages, Jefferson was there, forbidding me to dissect dead bodies. I had to steal them from graveyards, and he had me burnt for doing it. Wherever I went, I found Jefferson in my way. You'd have thought he was wrong then, wouldn't you?
Certainly.
Well, I think he is wrong now. He was always wrong, right back to the beginning.
And you were always right, darling.
Yes, always. You see, Robert, I'm really a better Christian than you are.
Oh, darling.
I believe in the forces of good and evil, and I am not willing to compromise with evil.
I don't ask you to do that. All I'm suggesting is that you should pull in a bit and not go out of your way to antagonize people.
I haven't gone out of my way to antagonize anybody. Why didn't you ask him to pull in?
I did.
Is he going to?
No, he made exactly the same replies that you're making. He too is convinced that he is right. If only you'd both be a little bit reasonable.
Listen, Robert. There isn't anything Jefferson stands for that you approve. I've heard you time after time denouncing him as narrow-minded, reactionary, medieval
obscurantist?
Yes, that's it. Obscurantist. Yet here you are taking his part against me.
I'm only trying to satisfy you both.
You can't do, Robert. If you satisfy him, you dissatisfy me. I never expected to have to tell you that you can't serve God and Mammon.
You're not suggesting that Jefferson is Mammon, are you?
Well, he isn't God.
Are you?
No. But when I'm doing a good job of work, I have God in me, and I should be committing a sin if I stop doing it. When I am drawn away from myself and my own comfort and made to do things that are not for my own good, but for the good of other people, then I cease to be myself and become part of God.
That's an extremely dangerous doctrine, Sancho. There isn't a dictator in Europe who can't justify himself on that argument.
Perhaps, but by their fruits ye shall know them. Jefferson has no fruits. Some poor women have far too many. I'm trying to see that they have only enough, and that they're good. And Father Jefferson can put that in his pipe and smoke it.
Have it your own way, but I still think my way is the best.
Robert,
Why have you become so very reasonable all of a sudden? You're not losing your courage, are you?
I don't think so.
Or are you becoming careful? It isn't that deanery.
Oh, Sancho, that's very unjust.
I'm not so sure. What will become of my clinic if you get it?
That's a problem, isn't it?
It's a very worrying problem.
No, we can't live here.
No, we shall have to live in Winterbury, 40 miles away.
Yes.
So, of course, like a good wife, I shall be expected to give up my work and follow my husband's career.
I shouldn't put it quite like that.
But that's the situation, isn't it?
Well, darling, you're not proposing that we should separate.
No, of course not. But I resent this assumption that when a husband and wife are both doing a good job, the wife's work must always be regarded as subordinate to the husband's, and that when he gets promotion, she must chuck her job and follow him. Why shouldn't he chuck his?
Do you want me to?
No, darling, you know I don't. I've faced this situation ever since the bishop spoke to us that night. When was it? Last March. And I'm prepared. It won't be easy. But I'm prepared to give up the clinic.
Sancho. Oh, darling, that's really noble of you.
I can open another in Winterbury.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Is there anything against that?
Well, a dean's wife has to watch her step a bit more than a vicar's.
My God, has she? The whole of this town has been watching my step ever since I married you. If it's like this for a vicar's wife, what must it be like for an archbishop's?
Officially, my dear, an archbishop has no wife. He lives in a domestic atmosphere.
Yes, Anne?
Please, sir, there are two gentlemen to see you.
At this hour of the evening?
Yes, sir. They asked if Mr. Bob was in and said it was important.
Bob? Have you told him?
No, madam. They said they'd like a word with you, sir, first.
Did they give their names?
No, sir, they just asked if Mr. Bob was in and then said they'd like a little chat with you.
Show them in.
Yes, sir.
How very mysterious.
Yes, very.
The gentleman, sir.
Hello, Lindsay. I didn't expect a call from you.
Good evening, Vicar. This is my colleague, Inspector Footvoy.
How do you do, Inspector?
Good evening, sir.
Oh, I don't think you've met my wife. This is Inspector Lindsay, my dear, an old friend.
No, I haven't had that pleasure, sir.
How do you do, Inspector?
How do you do?
You haven't come to arrest me for anything awful, have you? Nobody's died on me, have they?
No, ma'am. But I'm afraid, though, I've not come on a pleasant job. The fact is, I have a warrant for your son's arrest.
For his arrest?
I'm not acting as strictly as I ought, but you're an old friend, Vicar, and I have the greatest regard for you and your work, and for yours, too, ma'am. And I thought I'd just have a little talk with you first. I want to make things as easy as possible for everybody.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm obliged to you.
But what's he done?
Well, Mrs. Carson, it's a charge of sedition.
Sedition?
Your young man has been distributing handbills to soldiers, urging them to lay down their arms and refuse to fight in the next war.
But he's only a boy.
Your son's in the house, sir, isn't he?
Yes.
Will you send for him?
I'll go and fetch him.
Are you going to take him away tonight?
I'm afraid so. Oh, he'll probably be let out on bail tomorrow.
Is it a very serious crime to try to stop war?
Yes, ma'am. Very serious. When it's only one side you're stopping. I don't like war any more than you do. But there's a lot of things I don't like that I have to do. This is one of them.
Here's my son. Do you want me?
Are you Robert Carson?
Yes.
We are police officers, and I am Chief Detective Inspector Lindsay. I have here a warrant for your arrest on a charge of sedition. I shall read it to you. You needn't say anything in reply, but if you do, it'll be taken down in writing and may be used in evidence. Information on oath has this day been laid by John Lindsay that Robert Carson of the Vicarage Combermere in the County of South, hereinafter called the defendant, on this 12th day of September in the said district endeavoured maliciously and advisedly by writing and conversation to seduce one Henry Cobb, there and then a soldier in Her Majesty's forces, to wit the Southwest Fusiliers, from his allegiance to Her Majesty.
May I see the warrant?
Certainly.
I've only one thing to say.
Bob, for God's sake, don't say anything.
I'm not going to deny what I've done, and I refuse to have any lawyers messing about with my case. I'm guilty. I want everybody to know I'm guilty. I think it is my duty to do everything in my power to stop war, and I will do my utmost for the rest of my life to make every soldier lay down his arms. If that is guilt, then I am guilty.
Anyway, I'm afraid we shall have to search his room. Perhaps you'll show Inspector Footboy where it is, Vicar.
There's nothing there. Except a few pamphlets and books. You'll find them all in my desk.
If you'll come this way, Inspector.
Thank you, sir. I'm afraid I must make sure that you're not carrying firearms.
But he's a pacifist.
I know. But you've no idea how bloodthirsty some pacifists are.
What's happening? What is it, Bob?
He's just been arrested, June.
What for?
Sedition.
Do you mean to tell me you've arrested him for that?
Yes, miss, I have.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He's an undergraduate. Don't you realize that?
Don't make little of me because I'm young.
You silly idiot. You got yourself into a nice mess. Why can't you get on with your lessons instead of interfering in things you don't understand?
I'd feel ashamed of myself if I did nothing to try to stop this filthy fighting.
Will they send him to prison?
Oh, that depends on the evidence and the judge.
Judge?
Oh, yes, miss. He'll probably be sent for trial.
I can't understand why it is criminal to tell a soldier that war is wicked.
That isn't what he told the soldier man. He urged him not to fight if a war should break out. And I call that advising a man to do the dirty on his country when she's in trouble.
Are you taking him to prison tonight?
No, miss, to the police station.
He'll want things, won't he? Like things and things.
Yes.
I'll go and get them ready for you, Bob.
Oh, thank you, June.
Won't want much, will you?
No, I suppose not.
Just a few things. Oh, Bob, darling.
Oh, June, my dear.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cry.
It's a bit hard on her. Women always get the worst of this sort of thing.
I found these pamphlets and books in his desk, sir.
Right. Are these yours?
Yes, they're all mine.
I'm now going to take you to 4th Street Police Station, where you'll be charged.
Is there anything I can do tonight?
Well, I should get on to your lawyer.
Oh, yes, of course. I'll telephone to Thompson at once. He's my solicitor. Oh, Bob.
Can I come with him?
Well, you can if you like, ma'am. But I shouldn't if I were you. It'll only distress you.
You'd like me to come, Bob?
Yes, please, Sancho.
I'll fetch a coat.
Oh, hello. Is that you, Thompson? It's the vicar speaking. Carson, yes. Thompson. For God's sake, come over here at once, will you? My son's just been arrested. What? The charge? The charge is sedition.
Turn that thing off, Bob, can't you? You better keep out of the way this afternoon.
Why?
The bishop will be here and Mrs. Armitage is coming to tea.
What if she is?
She's practically promised to give £5,000 to the clinic.
Oh, the clinic.
Yes, the clinic. It's much more important than your old propaganda. How you could have been such a fool, I can't imagine.
Do you think they'll send me to prison?
I don't know. Cook says she's surprised they've let you out on bail. Says it was influence.
Influence my foot?
I felt ashamed when I heard that lawyer reading out the letters you wrote to that soldier.
Are you trying to break off our engagement?
I wish I could, but I can't. I love you, you silly idiot.
Anne tells me the bishop's just come. He's in the drawing room with Robert.
Oh, is he? I didn't hear his car.
How lucky he's here. I'll have to ask him to have tea with Mrs. Armitage. That'll please her. You know, Bob, you haven't made things easy for me. I've lost 3 subscribers to the clinic since your arrest. Good ones, too. I don't want you here when Mrs. Armitage comes.
That's what I've been trying to tell him.
I don't seem to be wanted.
Well, you're not very helpful, are you? Your father's moving heaven and earth to get you out of this mess, and you do nothing but get in his way.
Anybody'd think you wanted to go to jail.
I do. I want to go to prison.
I can't make out whether you're a saint and a martyr or just an exhibitionist.
Oh, Sancho, I didn't think you'd say that to me. I know I'm silly and arrogant, but that doesn't prove that I'm wrong about essential things. That's what I'm trying to tell you all, but you just laugh at me and say, you wait till you're older, then you'll know better. I may not want to know better. I may be too frightened or too lazy or too self-satisfied. Well, that's not good enough for me. The only way to get anything done is for somebody to do something dramatic, something that will make people think, like getting crucified. Oh, I know I'm expressing myself terribly badly, Sancho. But that's what I'm trying to do, and it hurts me frightfully when you sneer at me. Because I do love you so.
I'm sorry, Bob. But you see, darling, you must just make a little bit of allowance for the rest of us. We're not really fools, and we're not really indifferent. We're frightened and confused.
But you do see what I'm driving at, and you understand, don't you? Why I want to go to prison? It's not just to get a lot of cheap glory, but to shock people into peace.
But will you? Every soldier is willing to die for his belief, Bob.
Mrs. Armitage.
Oh, Mrs. Armitage, how do you do? I'm so glad you were able to come. You know my stepson, Bob, I think.
Oh, yes, I've been reading about him.
How do you do, Mrs. Armitage?
And my husband's secretary, Miss June Hanby.
How do you do?
Bob and she are engaged to be married.
Engaged? Oh, it'll be a long engagement, I suppose, what with one thing and another.
Well, yes, I suppose it will. But they're both young and can wait. You two are going out now, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Bob and I have a lot to do. Goodbye, Mrs. Armitage.
Goodbye.
I'll say goodbye, too.
Yes. Goodbye, young man.
Goodbye.
Well, I've just popped in, as I promised, but I mustn't stay long.
Is anything wrong?
Oh, no, nothing's wrong. But this business about your stepson has upset me.
It's upset us?
Oh, well, naturally, of course, but it's upset me a lot. You see, I'm very patriotic, Mrs. Carson.
Yes?
And I think it's dreadful to go about telling soldiers not to fight for their country.
Bob's only a boy, Mrs. Armitage.
Oh, yes, but the way I look at it is this. How's he been brought up? To have such ideas in his head? After all, if parents do their duty, children have right ideas in their heads.
We don't always know what are right ideas.
No, yes, we do. Well, it's easy enough to do right if you want to. Just do what everybody else does. Half the people who make so much fuss about it don't want to do right.
Here's tea. I'm sure you'll be glad of a cup. Oh, do sit down.
Oh, thank you. Tea, well, now it's here.
Is the bishop still with the vicar, Anne?
Yes, madam.
Oh, nice girl, that.
Who, Anne? Yes, she's a nice girl.
So hard to get nice girls nowadays. I don't know what's become of all the nice girls. I had a nice girl once, but... Oh, she got into trouble.
Oh.
Somehow the nice ones always do that. I suppose it's because they're so nice.
Perhaps. Two lumps or one?
Three, please. I've got a very sweet tooth. I think the pictures have done a lot of harm, don't you?
Not more than other things, have they?
Oh, yes. They've unsettled girls. Always thinking of film stars when they should be doing their dusting. Mr. Jefferson says the pictures have done a lot of harm.
Mr. Jefferson? Have you seen him lately?
Yes, I've seen quite a bit of him lately. He's a very persevering man.
Very. Bread and butter?
Cake, please. Mr. Jefferson's very worried about your clinic.
Why should he be?
Well, of course, you know what his views are. High church and all that. Of course, I was brought up low church, but I must say I like a nice high church service. I like the little boys in lace surplices, don't you? Yes. I mean, they look rather nice, and though I'm told some of them are awful. I knew a lady once who told
me... Mrs. Armitage, you've something to tell me, haven't you?
Well, yes, I have. I really came to tell you I want to think things over a bit.
Do you mean about the clinic?
Yes, I'm not sure about it.
Oh, Mrs. Armitage, I thought it was...
Yes, I know, I thought so too, but things are different now. And Mr. Jefferson's so distressed about it all, and then this business about your stepson. So, you see, I must have time to think it over. I don't want to do anything I'd regret afterwards.
Does this mean that you won't give me the money?
Well, not quite. I just want to be sure that I'm not doing anything that I don't really approve of. We mustn't rush into things, must we?
Mrs. Armitage, you know better than most people how necessary our clinic is.
Oh, yes, I know. That's what I said to Mr. Jefferson, and he said, so long as it's concerned with ailments and things like that, that's all right. But, well, you know what he is. He's very Anglo-Catholic and all that.
I can't think of anything more useful than the clinic. It's helping to make a better race.
Of course, I'd like to do something. I've always wanted to do something.
Yes.
Over and over again, I used to say to my husband, John, let's do something.
Well?
But he was too busy, poor dear. And then, of course, he died and never did anything.
The clinic could be his memorial.
It could, of course. We could have a statue of him in the vestibule, mm-hmm. and patting little children on the head and with an inscription underneath. That would be nice. Yes, John would like that. Still, I'd like to think it over. I'm... Oh, I'm going to the south of France in November when the weather begins to get bad.
If you were to settle about it now, we could build it while you're away and it might be ready for you to open on your return.
That would be nice, of course. But Dr. Jordan thinks I ought to stay the whole winter.
Oh.
And when I told Mr. Jefferson that, he thought it would be wise. He's a very thoughtful man, don't you think?
Very.
And now... Oh, well, I really must go. I meant only to pop in for a minute to tell you I wanted to think things over. Oh, I stayed hours. Well, goodbye and thank you. And we've had such a nice talk, haven't we? Discussed everything.
The bishop wants to know why you won't give him tea in here.
Of course I'll give him tea in here. Won't you stay and meet him, Mrs. Armitage?
I'd like to, of course, but really I think I'd better be going. Goodbye, Miss Hadley.
Goodbye.
I'll come to the door with you.
No, thank you. That will be nice.
Ah, any tea going?
Presently. You'll miss this when you're in jail.
I shall miss a lot of things.
Do hope you're not going to make a habit of going to jail. It won't be much fun being married to a man who spends his weekends at home and the rest of the time in prison.
Have you two had tea?
No.
Then we'll all have it here. Will you ring the bell, Bob?
Yes. June, have you any idea what the bishop wants?
No, but I can guess.
I'm afraid you're giving a great many people a lot of trouble, young man.
Yes, madam?
We'll have some fresh tea, please, and bring some more cups. The vicar and the bishop are coming in here.
Very good, madam.
How do you do, Zancha?
I'm not doing very well, bishop.
Oh?
Mrs. Armitage has just left. I'm afraid she's going to back out of her promise. Mr. Jefferson's been talking to her.
He's been talking to a lot of people. Far too many. Well, Bob?
Good afternoon, my lord.
What are we going to do with this young man?
Ask June. She'll have to do with him.
Well, June?
I'm wondering. Trouble with men seems to be that their bodies grow up so much more quickly than their brains. It takes a woman a long time to realize that what looks like an adult is really a child.
Your experience must have been very unfortunate.
She's had two generations of Carsons to cope with, Bob and me.
Tea, madam.
Thank you.
Madam.
I think you like your tea weak, don't you, Bishop?
Please.
Bread and butter, sir.
Thank you.
The bishop has been talking to me about this affair of Bob's. It's so serious, much more serious than I thought. I took it for granted that Bob would probably be let off with a grave reprimand. But the bishop thinks, and Thompson thinks too, that we must be prepared for imprisonment.
But that's what Bob wants.
I don't want influence used to get me off.
Bob thinks that the world badly needs the example of individual self-sacrifice.
Yes, yes. As I grow older, I get more skeptical about the value of these demonstrations. I've attended many meetings in my life, and I've noticed that emotional orators get all the cheers, but the work is generally done by some chap who can't talk for toffee. Oh, I'm not denying the value of eloquence, but my instinct is to be on my guard against eloquent people. And I've always found that acts of self-sacrifice which have no relation to the immediate possibilities of mankind leave things rather worse than they were before.
But, well, surely, if there were no pioneers, there would be no progress.
Progress, uh-huh. That's a word I've been hearing all my life. I wonder what it means.
Well, I'm like the bishop. I'm not sure of all this progress we're making. You yourself, Sancha, are doing your utmost to teach people to limit their families.
Well, you've approved of that. You and the bishop. It's only reactionaries and celibates like Jefferson who oppose it.
I know, but all the most advanced statisticians and sociologists are now telling us that if we don't pull up the birth rate, we'll perish for want of population.
Cannon fodder, that's all they want. If Sancha succeeds, there won't be enough people to be killed in wars.
Well, that's one way of looking at
it. It's the only way. The commandment says, thou shalt not kill, in any circumstances whatever.
How long is it since you read the Sermon on the Mount?
I can't remember.
Have any of you read it within the last 12 months? I leave you out, Robert. But the rest of you? Well?
I've never read it at all.
Bob?
I did read it once.
When?
Oh, I can't remember.
Sancho.
All right, Bishop. You win.
You see, you don't know the document, yet each of you talks as if you were familiar with it. The words used by our Lord were, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment.
Yes.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Without a cause, Bob.
It doesn't matter to me what any book says. I won't kill.
In any circumstances, whatever?
In no circumstances. I'm willing to die for my belief, but I'm not willing to kill for it.
Well, you may be the savior of your world, Bob.
Yes, but how are we to know that his world will be worth saving?
Isn't any world worth saving?
No, no. There are worlds that ought to perish, that must perish, if mankind is to live. I want peace. But I think we'll have to fight a good many wars before we get it. And I see very little hope of abolishing war in a world where only dictators survive.
Nevertheless, the Bobs of this world have their uses. They offer us examples that we may admire, even if we refuse to be guided by them. Robert, you shouldn't try to keep him out of prison. There may not be any prison strong enough to hold him. Thank you, my dear, for my nice tea.
Pedro.
Please, madam, Mrs. Jones has come.
Mrs. Jones? Does she want me or the vicar?
She doesn't mind, madam, who she sees.
Oh.
Mrs. Jones? Oh, do you mean that nice woman whose son I married to the girl who was going to have a baby?
That's the one. The baby was born about a fortnight ago.
Oh, well, give Mrs. Jones my kind
regards. I'll have her in here, and you can give them to her yourself. You promised to baptize the baby.
Yes.
And perhaps you can make arrangements for it now. Show Mrs. Jones in here, Anne.
Yes, madam.
June and Bob, you two had better clear out. I don't suppose she wants to see you.
Oh, Bob can help me finish some lists I'm copying. Come on, Bob.
Good night, Bishop.
Good night, Bob.
And, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mrs. Jones.
Good evening.
Mrs. Jones, madam.
Good evening.
You remember the bishop, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Good evening, Mrs. Jones. I was just going when I heard you were here, and I thought I'd stay and say how'd you do. Your son's well, I hope?
Yes, sir.
And your daughter-in-law?
She's well, too, sir.
Excellent. I hear their baby was born the other day.
Yes, sir.
Your grandchild?
Yes, sir. It died this morning, sir.
Oh, poor Mrs. Jones. I'm so sorry.
Died this morning, it did. I thought I'd just come and tell you.
Poor little thing.
Oh, I don't know, sir. Missed a lot of trouble. Was a nice little baby, though. A boy it was. Reminded me of Dick when he was born. Smiled nice.
Is there anything we can do, Mrs. Jones?
No, sir, nothing. Nothing. I don't know why I've come, really. Except that I just thought I would. Seems so funny, somehow. Us all making that fuss about getting Dick and Hilda married, and now the baby's dead. And my boy's tied to that girl for life. Silly, ain't it? You know, my lord, she's no good. She's a foolish girl. I suppose I oughtn't to blame her, really. She can't help being a fool. Nobody wants to be one. But I do wish she'd married some other chap than my boy. It was a mistake, sir. We didn't ought to mess about with other people's lives. Why can't we leave each other alone? Eh?
Poor woman. I'd better see what I can do.
I don't know what the answer to that is, Robert.
No, nor I.
If we were sensible, we would now put those two asunder. On September the 21st at the Church of St. Michael and All Angels, Dick and Hilda Jones were separated by the Bishop of Winterbury, who expressed regret at having united them. Yeah. Robert, you will talk to Sancho about this business of the deanery.
Yes, but I'm in a quandary, Bishop. It isn't easy for a man to go to his wife and say, look here, my dear, I can't get on in my profession unless you give up your job. Why should she stultify herself for my good?
Well, it's a question of degree. Whose work is the more important? Sancho's a good doctor, but she isn't the only good doctor in the world. She isn't even the only good doctor in this town. I'm told that her assistant at the clinic is very good.
Yes, she's excellent.
So that if she went, the clinic wouldn't seriously suffer.
Would the church suffer if I didn't go to the deanery?
I think it would.
Oh, come.
I'm serious, Robert. A great wave of materialism is passing over the world, and unless a tremendous effort is made, the whole spiritual life of mankind may founder. You seem to me to be a man with a peculiar gift for inspiring people to make the most of what's good in them. And I wish to see you in a place where your gift can be used to the greatest advantage. If I have to choose between you and Sancho, I will unflinchingly choose you. And now, I must go back. I have a lot of work to do before I go to bed. Good night, Robert.
Well, let me see you out. You had an overcoat,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, good night, Mr. Hurst. Good night, Bishop. And thank you for coming. Well, Sancho, how's Mrs. Jones?
Poor woman. How she hates her daughter-in-law. I don't wonder, though. Hilda's the best excuse for birth control I've ever met. Has the bishop gone?
Yes, I was just seeing him off. What did Mrs. Armitage have to say?
She's turned tiresome. Jefferson's been at her, and she's trying to back out of her promise.
Oh, that's a bad blow.
I dare say we'll get over it. Did the bishop talk about anything else than Bob's case?
Yes, he met the Prime Minister in London yesterday, and they talked about me.
Oh?
PM was very nice, but he made a rather odd remark, which is worrying the bishop.
Oh, what?
Well, he said something about my having a difficult family.
I suppose he meant Bob.
Yes, but not only Bob.
You mean me?
Uh-huh.
But I'm not difficult.
Well, darling, it depends, doesn't it, on the point of view. You're not difficult to me, but you are to Jefferson.
Well, what does the bishop suggest?
Well, bluntly, he thinks you should go very slow on your clinic.
Robert, the clinic needs me now more than it ever did. We live from hand to mouth, and just at the moment it looks as if we shan't live very well. I can't go slow. If Mrs. Armitage lets me down, I shall have to do and say a great deal more than I want to. I must appeal for money.
But, Sancho...
I may have to make things unpleasant for Father Jefferson.
Oh.
I haven't finished with that gentleman yet, not by a long chalk.
Sancho, you mustn't do this.
Why?
I've told you why.
So that you may be dean?
Yes.
Oh, Robert.
Why should you expect me to put your work before mine when you won't put mine before yours? I think my work's important. As important as yours, and in most respects more important. I shouldn't be a priest if I didn't think a man's soul of greater value than his body.
Can a dean save souls more than a vicar?
Well, that's not the point.
It's the whole point. If you think I'm going to spend the rest of my life pouring out tea for old girls who take a refined interest in religion, you make a great mistake. I'm a doctor, and I shall go on being a doctor until I drop. What's left over from the doctor can be the dean's wife. I shan't leave my clinic until it's safe.
You'd rather leave me?
No. I love you, darling, and you know I love you. But I have work to do, no less than yours, and I must do it, no matter what becomes of me.
Or of me?
Or of you.
That's your last word?
That's my last word.
Vicarage speaking. Oh, yes, Mrs. Martin. No, they're not back yet. Oh, I don't know, ma'am, but they may be here any minute. Oh, it is dreadful. Poor Mr. Bob. Of course, he didn't ought to have done it, but he's young. Yes, ma'am. I'll be sure to tell them. Yes, I will. Yes. It is awful for them. It'd be awful for anybody, of course. Thank you.
Who was it, Anne?
Oh, Mrs. Martin, sir. Told me to tell you she was ever so sorry about Mr. Bob.
Thank you.
And, sir, we're sorry too, sir.
Thank you.
It seems such an awful sentence for what he did.
Yes.
Oh, and the bishop rang up, sir. He said he was sorry he couldn't see you in Winterbury this afternoon, but he's got to go to some dinner near here tonight, and you look in on his way home.
Thank you. Oh, and Anne... I'm very grateful to you for your sympathy.
Well, sir, we have to be kind to each other, haven't we?
Yes.
Good evening, Anne. Good evening, miss. I'm ever so sorry, miss. Thank you, Anne.
Miss Hanvey will be staying here tonight, Anne.
Yes, sir.
Where's Sancho?
She'll be down in a minute. Wonder what they're doing to Bob now.
I wonder.
Judge, what sort of a man can he be to give a boy 12 months for a... silly thing like that. Poor Bob. Do you think perhaps they're just trying to frighten him and that after a little while he'll be let out?
Perhaps. You know, June, it wasn't very sensible of him.
I know. I didn't think he could make such a fool of himself.
But all the same, that sentence is too much. Shall I answer it?
Yes, please.
Michael Vicarage? Yes? What? The Winterbury Gazette. You want to speak to the vicar? Well, hold on a moment, I'll see if he's in. It's a reporter from the Winterbury Gazette. Wants to interview you about Bob.
Oh, right. Hello? Yes, I'm the vicar. Thank you. Yes, I agree, it was monstrous. Oh, that's very kind of you. Yes, I'll gladly see you. Can you come round now? All right. Goodbye. Well, there you are, Sancho.
Who was that, Robert?
A reporter from the Winterbury Gazette. He says his editor is indignant at the sentence and wants to get up an agitation for a pardon for Bob.
Is he in Compiègne now?
He's at the station. I'll see him in the drawing room, June, when he comes.
Oh, very well. Is there anything you want me to do tonight?
No, my dear.
You'd better go to bed, darling. You look tired out.
I am tired, but if there's anything to do...
No, nothing.
I'd better see if there are any letters. I expect some came by the late post.
Poor June. She looks all in.
Yes, I didn't realize how fond of him she is.
That sort of boy always appeals to that sort of girl.
Poor Bob. I never dreamt they'd give him such a sentence as that.
Oh, did you see the judge's face, Robert? That man was enjoying himself.
Oh, no, no, darling. You mustn't say things like that about people.
But he was. I'm not feeling very fond of people tonight, Robert. To take an emotional boy like Bob and drag him into the dock and give him 12 months...
There were some letters for you. And one for you, Mrs. Carson.
Thank you. Go to bed now, darling.
No, I'll wait. There may be something important that must be answered tonight.
I shan't answer it if there is.
You'd better look first. We can't go to pieces just because Bob's in jail.
No, there's nothing here that needs attention tonight.
Oh.
What is it, darling?
Mrs. Armitage has turned us down. She's definitely decided not to give me the £5,000 for the clinic. And she's resigning from the committee. She doesn't feel that she can continue to support an institution of which she does not entirely approve.
Well, that's reasonable enough.
Anyhow, you'd almost given up hope of getting anything out of her.
Not quite. I thought I had enough influence over her to make her pay up, but evidently I haven't. Well, she's given me one more reason for holding my meetings. I must raise money from somewhere, and if she won't give it to me, I'll have to get it in pennies from the public. We've a strenuous winter in front of us.
Bob's imprisonment won't help much.
It hasn't so far, but it may do us good in the end. What do you think, Robert?
Perhaps. But you're taking on a big job, Sancho. All this propaganda work, in addition to your ordinary medical work, will take a lot out of you.
I think I can stand it.
Good night, Mrs. Carson. I think I'll go out now.
Good night, my dear. Bob has a lot to make up to you.
Oh!
What is it?
It's all right. She's overwrought. I'll take her to bed. Come along, June.
I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, my son.
Poor child. Poor child.
There's a gentleman wants to see you, sir. A newspaper gentleman.
Oh, thank you, Anne. Oh, when your mistress comes down, tell her I'm in the drawing room.
Yes, sir. St. Margaret's Vicarage speaking. Yes, sir. Yes, they're both at home, sir. The vicar's engaged, but I don't suppose he'll be long. Very good, sir. I'll tell him.
What is it, Anne?
Someone's just rung up to say the bishop's on his way. Oh, shall I bring something in when he comes, madam?
Oh, yes. Please, Anne. He's very fond of hot milk.
Yes, madam.
That'll be the bishop. Show him in here, will you?
Yes, madam.
Poor Mrs. Armitage. So rich and so empty.
This way, please, sir. Father Jefferson.
Father who?
Good evening, Mrs. Carson.
Oh, Father Jefferson. My husband's engaged, but he won't be long. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you. I've really come to see you.
Me?
Yes. First, let me say how sorry I am at the savage sentence that your son received this morning.
Yes, it was savage, wasn't it?
But he won't be any the worse for that. A man who suffers for his conscience' sake is not injured by persecution.
It's very kind of you to give us your sympathy. Thank you.
If you are organizing any petition or meeting of protest, I will do all I can to help you.
That's more than kind. I'm deeply grateful, and I'm sure my husband will be grateful, too.
But that isn't the only thing I've come about.
No, I gathered that.
Mrs. Carson, you must believe me when I tell you that it is a great grief to me to have to oppose you. I know you are a sincere and able woman, and that you are doing good work, and that you regard all your work as good. Unfortunately, I don't. Some of it seems to me sinful.
I know, but your opinion of what is sinful is only your opinion.
No, there we differ. I hold my opinions because I believe them to be the Almighty's. You advocate certain causes and ways of living which to me, forgive me, are devilish.
You haven't come here just to discuss our sociological differences, Mr. Jefferson.
No, though I should not call them sociological differences, but spiritual. I'm told that you're about to make public appeals for money to extend your clinic and to build others elsewhere in the town. It is only fair to tell you that I shall feel it my duty to oppose you by every means in my power.
I shall go on with my plans, no matter who opposes them.
Wherever you hold a meeting, I shall hold one. Either immediately before it or immediately after it. If you will not promise to abstain from advocating these obnoxious doctrines, I shall not only do my utmost to prevent you from extending your clinic, but will also try to have it closed.
Closed?
Yes. Many of the people who subscribe to it are my personal friends. I shall do my utmost to persuade them to withdraw their subscriptions.
Some of them have done so already.
More, I hope, will.
Nevertheless, Mr. Jefferson, I will go on with my work. You paid me the compliment just now of saying you believe me to be sincere. What would you say if I were in a position to ruin your work and I came to you and threatened to ruin it unless you did exactly what I told you?
I should take no notice of you.
Neither do I take any notice of you. How little my sincerity would amount to if at the first hint of opposition I gave up my work.
Why can't you confine yourself to ordinary medical work that rouses no dispute?
You've been asking me that question for ages and ages, and every time I've had to make Luther's reply. God helping me, I can do no other. I'm sorry for mentioning Luther to you. You probably don't like him.
Then it's useless to make any further appeal to you?
Quite useless.
I'm intensely sorry. You will remember, I hope, that this makes no difference to my promise to do what I can about your son.
That is really very kind of you, Mr. Jefferson, and I shall not forget it.
Good night.
Good night.
My dear Jefferson, what brings you here?
Mr. Jefferson very kindly came to sympathize with us about Bob and to offer to do anything he can to help us.
My dear fellow, that's very generous of you.
Anything I can. But that isn't the only reason why I'm here. There's an even more important reason, which Mrs. Carson has not mentioned.
Oh, what's that?
Mr. Jefferson and I have declared war on each other.
War?
Yes. He will oppose every effort I make to raise money for the clinic, unless I give up instructions on birth control.
Well, we know that that's his attitude already.
But it's going to be much more definite in future.
I've told Mrs. Carson that I shall feel it my duty to hold meetings in opposition to hers.
I see.
Mr. Jefferson's been very frank. If I will not promise to restrict myself at the clinic to his requirements, he will not only oppose any attempt to enlarge it, but will try to have it closed.
Closed? Do you mean, Jefferson, that you'll try to have the clinic shut up altogether?
Yes. It had better be shut than continue to spread evil.
But, my dear fellow, this is preposterous. This clinic does invaluable work among poor people. Saves the lives of hundreds of little children. Teaches ignorant mothers how to take care of their children. Well, you're not proposing to stop that, are you?
The work of rescue can still go on, will go on, even if this clinic comes to an end.
Well, there's no other clinic in the town.
Others will come. I've noticed in my life that evil cannot put good down forever.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Mr. Jefferson. It gives me great comfort.
I do not think there's any more to be said. We understand each other. Good night again, Mrs. Carson.
Good night.
One moment. There is something more to be said. So far, I've taken no public part in this controversy. It is Sancho's affair, and I have my own work to do. But from tonight on, I'm taking a prominent part in it. Since you've asked for a fight, Jefferson, you shall have one. Sancho, I shall speak at all your meetings.
Oh, Robert.
And listen, Jefferson, hasn't been easy to keep the peace with you, but I've kept it. From now on, however, I shall fight you as hard as I know how.
You must do what you think best.
I shall. When's your next meeting, Sancho?
On Friday.
Where?
I'm afraid it's in Mr. Jefferson's parish.
Good. I suppose you wouldn't like to take the chair, Jefferson.
The bishop's come, sir. I told him you were engaged and showed him into the drawing room.
Will you stay and meet him, Jefferson? He's come in for a few moments to hear about my son.
No, thank you. The bishop and I don't see things from the same point of view, and we find it better to meet as seldom as possible.
Anne, show Mr. Jefferson out.
Yes, sir.
Good night. I'm sorry we can't be friends, but we needn't be foes.
Good night. Thank you again for your kindness about my son.
Robert, Are you really going to help me like that?
Of course.
Oh, my darling. My darling.
Darling.
Oh.
The bishop's waiting.
Oh, blow the bishop. I want to kiss you forever and ever.
Darling.
Oh, Robert, I do love you.
May I come in?
No. Oh. Why, yes, of course.
I heard someone going out, and as your maid had thoughtfully left the door of the drawing room open, I managed to catch a glimpse of him. It was my dear friend, Father Jefferson. Then I caught the sound of contention coming from this room, and I came here at once to prevent a domestic brawl.
You have come in the nick of time.
Oh, I came to see if I could do anything about Bob, but I find you in something like a state of hilarity. Has he been released?
I'm afraid we've forgotten Bob for the moment.
You see, Bishop, we've had a shindy with Mr. Jefferson.
Oh, he came here with an offer to help about Bob.
He also brought a declaration of war.
Has he?
Yes. Unless Sancha abandons her birth control instruction and restricts herself to ordinary medical practice, he'll not only oppose her efforts to extend the clinic, but do his best to have it closed down.
Did he threaten that?
He did.
So of course, when I heard that, I said I'd join the fight on Sancha's side.
You mean there's to be public scrapping?
Yes. Sancha's going to hold a series of meetings to try to raise funds for the clinic. Jefferson says he'll hold a series of meetings to try to stop her raising funds.
Mm.
And since there's sure to be a good deal of squabbling, Bishop, I think you'd better tell the Prime Minister that I do not wish to be considered for the deal.
Oh, Robert.
Well, darling, I don't want to embarrass the Bishop by letting him support an unsuccessful candidate. After all, Sancha was quite right when she said I can do good work here. It isn't as big an opportunity as Winterberry, but it'll do. I've had great happiness in Combermere. I met Sancha here.
Mm-hmm. I disapprove of a man doing a small job when he might do a big one. It is not true modesty to hide your light under a bushel. It is sometimes laziness, sometimes cowardice, sometimes sentimentality. And sometimes a false sense of what is right. I don't know under which of these headings you are to be put, Robert, but I tell you flatly that I shall not cease from trying to get you made Dean of Winterbury until it is useless to strive any more.
Then the Prime Minister must take me as he finds me, and he'll find me fighting on Sancha's side.
What are you going to do about Bob?
Well, I've just had a reporter here from the Winterbury Gazette. His editor wants to get up an agitation for Bob's release.
Yes, I don't like the press very much, but I suppose newspapers have their uses. My cook says they're excellent kindling. Well, if I can do anything, tell me. I must go home now and take off these glad rags.
Was it a nice dinner?
It was a public dinner.
Oh.
I've been sucking soda mints all night.
Oh, dear.
I hope Bob will soon be free. Good night.
Good night, Bishop.
Oh, my dear Bishop. Hope you'll understand. Of course.
When we came home from Winterbury, my heart was in my boots. I felt utterly despondent. But I'm happy now.
Why?
Well, I suppose because we're on the same side again.
Robert, won't you be sorry if you miss the deanery?
Oh, yes, very sorry.
Well, then, don't you think you'd better keep out of this scrap with Jefferson?
Not if you're in it. I can't stand by in silence while that man tries to ruin your work.
Oh, darling, you make me feel I'm not good enough for you.
Oh, don't talk rubbish.
You know I love you, don't you?
Yes.
I love you more than any human being I've ever known. The moment I saw you for the first time, I knew I was going to love you, but I tried not to because your life is so different from mine. Then there came the moment when I knew I must love you, that no matter how different your life might be from mine, I must love you as long as I lived. You see, my whole heart overflowed into yours.
My dear, dear wife. Sancha? Sancha?
Coming, Robert.
Oh, hello, June.
Hello.
I thought you and Miss Audley were working in the morning room.
So we are. What is it?
The morning paper. Look, it's full of last night's row.
I don't like rows. I believe in doing your work quietly. These fusses make me sick.
Are you casting aspersions on me?
Yes, I am. First it's Bob and now it's you. You've driven Bob clean off the front page, too. All they say about him now is that he's your son. Listen. It will be remembered that Mr. Carson's son was sent to prison for 12 months for sedition. That's all. It was just over a fortnight since Bob was sentenced, and already he's forgotten. The paper has to remind its readers about him.
You're getting bitter, Doom.
Is it enough to make a girl bitter? That sort of thing isn't your line. You're a worker, not a film star. Well, get back to Miss Orley.
What's the matter, June?
Mr. Carson has something to show you.
Yes, Robert?
Look at this.
I say, this stuff is a bit sensational.
Yes, I don't like the way it's put very much.
It says here that some man shouted at you, "Your son's a dirty traitor."
Yes, someone did shout that.
Well, I suppose we must expect abuse. First neglect, then abuse, then persecution, and last of all, triumph.
No, that isn't last, darling. After triumph comes the decline, when ideals give place to organization and efficiency, and the profits are followed by the bureaucrats.
That's why we have to keep on making rows. No row, no movement. I suppose you want to go on with this one.
Certainly. Is the money coming in?
Not very fast. It takes a lot of pennies to make up £5,000. Oh, if somebody would only give me the money. Just £5,000.
May I come in a moment?
Well, yes, of course, Miss Orley.
I've done all I can for June tonight, and I'm just going. I'd like to talk to you alone, Mrs. Carson.
Oh, that means I'm to clear out?
Yes, please, darling.
All right. I'm in the garden if I'm wanted.
Have you seen the evening paper?
Yes. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Mrs. Carson, won't you make him stop it?
Stop what?
All this street corner stuff. It isn't his job, Mrs. Carson.
Aren't you taking rather a liberty, Miss Orley?
Yes. But you see, I hear more about this business than you do. People keep their thoughts to themselves when you're present, but I hear what they're saying. You're trying to raise money for the clinic, but this campaign hasn't brought much, has it?
No, disappointingly little.
You'll get less and less. And then people will stop subscribing to his work, and the end will be grief and disaster.
What are you suggesting, Miss Orley?
Why don't you give up the whole thing?
Do you mean give up the clinic?
Superficially, yes. Really, no.
Is this a riddle?
You want £5,000 for your clinic.
I do.
I'll give it to you on one condition, that you resign.
What?
Now, please don't misunderstand me. I think you're doing good work, but it is work that other people can do. There's nobody in this district who can do your husband's work.
You mean that he's more important to his work than I am to mine?
Yes. I know that this agitation is likely to prevent him from becoming Dean of Winterbury. And that means the frustration of a very able man. Now, if you leave the clinic will still go on. Not less effective, because its enemies will no longer be able to make mischief through the fact that you're his wife. You want the clinic to go on, don't you?
Of course I do.
Well, it will go on. I'll give the money.
£5,000 is a lot to give away. Won't you be crippling yourself?
Oh, I still have enough to live on. When we've extended the clinic, I'll give up my house and live there. I can do any clerical work that's needed, and there's no reason why we shouldn't report to you what we're doing and ask your advice, but you needn't appear in public.
What this amounts to, Miss Orley, is that you're bribing me to leave Combermere and go to Winterbury with my husband if he is appointed dean.
You could call it that.
Why are you willing to do this?
I don't like waste.
Yet you are willing to waste me.
Oh, nothing can waste you.
You're in love with Robert.
Yes.
And you're doing this for him?
Yes.
I love him, too. I didn't believe that any woman could love any man as much as I love Robert. When he comes into the room, I feel my heart uplifted. When I'm tired and despondent, I fortify myself with his courage. If I were dead and he needed my help, I would come out of the grave to help him.
I believe you, because I love him like that, too.
Does he know that you love him?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm just a parish worker, woman who passes the time by helping June to send out circulars. Apart from that, he doesn't know that I exist.
How long have you loved him?
Since the moment I first saw him.
Would you give up the clinic if you were me?
I'd give up everything if I were you.
You must give me time. I can't decide this now. You are asking me to make nothing of myself so that Robert may make more of himself. That's not easy.
Well, I've brought the check with me. There it is. I shall go now. Good night.
Good night.
You won't take too long to make up your mind, will you?
No, I won't take too long. £5,000.
Miss Orley gone?
Yes, dear.
A nice woman. Pity she doesn't get married.
Yes.
You know, it's a funny thing. But although I've known her for years, I don't know what her Christian name is.
Christabel.
Is it? Pretty name. I say, about that meeting on Tuesday...
There won't be any meeting on Tuesday.
Oh, why?
There won't be any more meetings. I've got the money.
You got it? How?
Miss Orley gave it to me.
Oh, you're joking.
Here's the check.
£5,000. Did she give you this herself? I mean, is it her own money?
Yes, it's her own. The clinic's safe now. Father Jefferson can do what he likes. It's safe.
She must be very fond of you.
I hadn't thought of that. I suppose she must be very fond of me.
This will make a great difference, of course, to both of us. We can let this agitation slide now.
Yes.
I'm glad the bishop didn't do what I asked.
Yes, wasn't it lucky? The bishop's a very wise old man. I hope you'll get this deanery, Robert.
Does that mean you're content to come to Winterbury?
Yes, I'm content. I dare say I can be useful in Winterbury. You won't waste me, will you, Robert?
Waste you? Good heavens, no. Here, take your check. You'd better lodge it in the bank tomorrow.
I will.
Ah, very generous of Miss Orley, I must say. Well, I knew she had money, of course, and I sometimes wondered what she'd do with it. Well, she's put it to a good use. She couldn't have done better with it.
No. No, she couldn't.
I read a rum thing in a book this morning.
Oh?
Yes, a book about astronomy.
What was it, darling?
Well, you know what a light year is.
No.
Well, light travels through space at a speed of about 186,000 miles a second.
How reckless of it.
Does about 6 billion miles in a year. That's a light year. 6 billion miles. The nearest star is 4.5 light years away from us. And by the time its light reaches us, it may have gone out. We may be seeing something that isn't there. You look up at the sky on a starry night, and you think you see myriads of stars. But they may not be there at all. The whole lot may have shifted or changed or gone out. It's a strange thought, isn't it? To be looking at something that may not be there.
Yes. A very strange thought. My darling.
In Robert's Wife by St. John Irvine, adapted for broadcasting by Archie Campbell, the part of Sancha Carson was played by Jesse Matthews. Robert Carson by Godfrey Kenton. The Bishop of Winterbury by Norman Shelley. June Hanvey, Patricia Gallimore. Bob Carson, David Baller. Miss Orley, Anne Cullen. Mrs. Jones, Hilda Fenimore. Mrs. Armitage, Margot Boyd. The Reverend Arthur Jefferson, Peter Pratt. Dick Jones, Alaric Cotter. Anne, the parlour maid, Frances Jeter. Chief Inspector Lindsay, Gerard Green, and Inspector Footboy, Peter Williams. The play was produced by Norman Wright.